You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It is myself, Momutsu, alongside me today, NBA trainer, Mr. Christopher Thomas. Our Denver Nuggets specialist is in the house after the Denver Nuggets force a game 7. First and foremost, though, CT, how you been living, my brother? It's been a little week and a half since you were last on the show. How you been?
Hey, breathing in, breathing out, bro. You know how I go. It's daily grind.
Grinding away. It's coming to the offseason now. I know you'll be putting in that work. So,
off-season training, baby. Off-season training. Come see me.
Yeah, that's a fact. One World Dominator on Instagram if you want to find CT. Or if you need to find his details, drop me a message. Anyway, let's get down to business. Let's get down to NBA business. Game 7, Sunday, Nuggets. Thunder after a thrilling game 6 where Denver managed to tie the series. Off the bat, CT, what were your thoughts?
Very necessary. Jokic had to show up. I saw midday.
29, 14, and 8 for Jokic.
Yeah, I saw midday. Murray was questionable.
Yep.
Because of sickness.
He had that same illness a few games ago as well.
Yeah, right. Okay, bro. You on vacation or are you trying to play? Like, come on.
I mean, he played pretty well. 25 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and he brought so much energy. I think a lot of the energy he brought wasn't for game 6, is because he was mad at the refs for some of the calls they made. But he was screaming into the crowd. He was hustling on defense. I liked what I saw from Jamal Murray for the most part in this game.
He got into his DMs and saw people like, come on, bro, for real? You ain't trying to play this game?
There's no way you can miss this game. Man, I don't care what you got. You can't miss this game.
Yeah, so he showed out. Props to him. Props to the Nuggets for putting it together. Jokic does what he does, but they actually showed up around him.
Yep. The Jamal Murray came out the gate firing. He had 11 points to start this game. The first quarter, the Nuggets were kind of in control of it, but the OKC did a good job of breaking down their zone. The way that OKC moves the basketball to break down the zone, there was a stretch in this game where they had 3 consecutive possessions of Isaiah Hartenstein scoring from the dunker spot because the guards of the Denver Nuggets weren't able to stop the guards of the OKC Thunder, who were able to penetrate the zone, collapse it, and then Hartenstein is just wide open roaming on the baseline. The Nuggets had to make some defensive adjustments after that. Otherwise, the game would have gone very differently. There was a little bit where Shea kind of got hit on the hand by Westbrook and he was looking like maybe he was injured. I don't know about that. But what I do know is he picked up his 4th foul with 1 minute 29 left in the first half, which completely shifted the rotation pan for OKC. It shifted the momentum of the game. It shifted everything. The Denver Nuggets actually closed that second quarter on a 12-3 run. And it would have been a 12-0 run if Lu Dort didn't hit a big three-pointer at the buzzer. But there are two guys that we would be completely remiss if we were not to talk about them. The first one is Christian Brown. 23 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and a block. He was everywhere. We're talking about bringing intensity and effort. He was bringing it for the night. You know Russell Westbrook's going to turn up and bring all the effort that he needs. But Christian Brown, he's saying, guys, I know we ain't got KCP no more, but don't worry. I got it.
I got you. That's why I'm still here. Yeah. I'm still here, and he's not.
But I mean, he's still
there his role.
He's cheaper to pay than KCP, but it's a beautiful surprise, I guess, for the Nuggets that Christian Brown has turned out to be this good. You know, credit to them for drafting and developing him. But Julian Strother off the bench, how about that? 15 points, which doesn't sound like a lot, but the timing of those 15 points was crucial.
Say that. Like, he's a man of the moment, and he gets in and he meets his moments. He's one of the few over the season when you watch as much basketball as you and I watch, NBA basketball in particular, and younger players to be specific, he's matched his moments all season. Mm-hmm. He's ready for this. And the Nuggets need to catch a clue and lean on him going forward, you know, as they pursue this. he's proven himself in many ways.
In the first round, he played 60 minutes across all seven games. That's 60 minutes total. He only played in three of the games. This is just a great example of staying ready for the moment because his minutes have been in this series. Game one, he played 6 minutes. Game two, he played 14. Game three, he didn't play. Game four, he played 5 minutes. Game five, he played 10 minutes. And then tonight, in 20 minutes, 15 points. He didn't let any of that distract him. He stayed locked in. He stayed focused. And, it's always kind of a question of that fifth closer for the Denver Nuggets. Sometimes it's Russell Westbrook. Sometimes it's Michael Porter Jr. Tonight, it was Julian Strother, who it was the Julian Strother game. Jokic was amazing, of course. Michael Porter Jr. gave them 10 points. Christian Brown, 23. Jamal Murray, 25. But the timing of Julian Strother's output in that fourth quarter was huge because the biggest flaw that we always talk about for the Denver Nuggets with their depth is the minutes where Jokic is resting. I think Jokic got like a good 4.5 minutes rest to start the fourth quarter, which is about a minute, minute and a half, maybe more than he would have usually got. But Julius Schroeter and also Payton Watson on the defensive end. I know offensively he's not all there, but defensively he had one chase down block that was crazy.
Phenomenal.
They stepped up and kept Denver afloat and they kept them in the lead because they were up eight to start the fourth quarter. He kept them in the lead. And then Jokic comes back in, wheels off five straight points himself, puts the lead up even more. But it was a little bit nervy towards the end. There was a run in the last couple of minutes
Of
where there was
course. Of course.
turnovers.
Made for TV. Made for TV. Just keep you, hey, don't go to bed. Watch this. I want to bring back the Strother. Like, it's not his playoff run, it's his season run. He's been doing this all season. If you're a Nuggets fan, if you've been watching Nuggets basketball, if you've caught the Nuggets against key opponents, Strother has been influential on the Nuggets wins in particular. So I'm happy to see him not, flounder in the moment, step up, show up and show out. And that's what the Nuggets need, and that's what they're going to need to finish the series out if they can. And OKC, it's another topic of OKC's figuring it out. Like, they didn't lose by much. It wasn't like they had an off game by much.
They didn't lose by much, and bear in mind they played without Shai for kind of more of the second half than they would have liked. I think they would have liked to get an extra 10 minutes out of him. But the biggest area for concern with OKC, and this even goes back to last year, and they brought in Hartenstein to address this. However, tonight he only picked up 6 boards. The Denver Nuggets almost had 20 more rebounds than the OKC Thunder, and especially in a game like this, right? You lose by 12. Think about how many of those possessions you've lost out on giving up offensive rebounds to the Denver Nuggets. And you're getting trips down the floor where you're just having one shot go up, you miss, and then the Denver Nuggets go the other way. The boards has to be the point of emphasis for Oklahoma going into that game seven on Sunday, because if you can't win on the glass or even compete and come close, it's just a possession game. Whoever has more possessions,
Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
especially for OKC, they shot 27% from three. Their 3-point shots weren't falling. Compare that to 37% for Denver. And if these shots are just missing and you're not able to capitalize on the misses and get putbacks and so on and so forth, it's going to be a real long night. Here's something though. Jalen Williams, J Dub, 3 of 16 from the field to finish with 6 points in 38 minutes in a game where you had the chance to close out and advance to the conference finals. Now, I saw something before the game, and I didn't really know what to think at the time. I saw a thing of Jalen Williams reposting videos on TikToks just an hour before the game. And I thought, you know what, maybe he's just, getting taped up and he's just relaxing on his phone, going through the motions. Maybe this is part of his routine. But come on, brother. You can't be on TikTok an hour before the game and then go 3 of 16. Come on, man. This is the NBA playoffs. This is not regular season. This is not
Different
training
day,
camp. This is not
brother.
summer league.
You know how this goes, Mo. These kids different. These kids
I hear
different.
it. I hear it. I hear it, right? And if that's your process that you go through before a game, some players listen to music, some players don't want to talk to anyone, some players read books. If you want to scroll through TikTok, that's cool. But when your fans are seeing you posting and reposting just before
Yes.
the game when they're on the way to the
Yes.
arena or they're buying popcorn in the stands, then it's a
So
little bit, come on, dog, there's a time and a
to your
place.
point and to the greater point of you're distracted. Like what you don't understand the brevity of the moment. Like this is the playoffs and you're on TikTok. Not a reliable source, if you want to call it that, on social media, if there is a reliable source on social media. You're on TikTok. You're warranting distraction within the hour of power, the hour of influence of you can send this team home tonight. You can go advance your brand, your name, your game, your team. TikTok, bruh. I'm yelling at the clouds. Get off my lawn. And you are that guy. Come on, stop it.
Yeah, man, it's pretty funny that I noticed that. It's pretty funny, but the credit does have to go to the Denver Nuggets. I also have to say on Jalen Williams, right? Because everyone's gonna laugh about a TikTok thing, but when Shai left the game with a foul trouble and Jalen Williams becomes the focal point of the offense, Denver's defense was then all focused on him, and he's seeing situations that he doesn't see too often because Shai's going to usually in the
Yes.
playoffs play 40 minutes at least, right? So now he's seeing the double teams. He's seeing the defenders trying to, shade him and make him think about the decision of if they're going to come and double, if he should throw the pass, and so on and so forth. Like that is part of growing as a player. That's part of developing as a player. But it's also one of the reasons why I guess some people doubt OKC when I talk about the lack of experience, because there are certain situations, like I have no doubt Jalen Williams will learn from this and grow as a player.
Yeah,
However,
truly, truly.
it's part of the experience. No player comes into the league perfect, and you have to be in certain situations to learn how to manage those situations. So, like, the TikTok stuff's funny, but this is a good learning experience, and I have no doubt in my mind that he will take that into game seven.
But I just feel this is the ultimate, like that, we're making fun, mocking him on TikTok, but that's the time where there's the research, the review, the preview of when Shai is out for his downtime, or if he gets in foul trouble, or if he's hurt. I now become the focal factor of our offense, and this is the defensive focus that comes to me. Do I understand that? Do I understand the rotations behind that? Do I understand the secondary defense? Like, and that's the hee hee ha ha until it's this moment when, all right, that's cute. Do your TikTok, except for when this happens, you're not a pro at that level and you're not ready. And that youth is gonna kill OKC.
Yeah, it's
And
like Shai is ready for the moment, right? Shai is the superstar. He's probably going to win MVP. But most teams have a second. Like, look at the Celtics, right? Jason Tatum goes out. Jaylen Brown is huge and pivotal in that game five win, right?
For sure.
Anthony Edwards struggles for the Timberwolves. Julius Randle's there picking up the slack, right? Tyrese Halliburton's getting double teamed. Okay, Andrew Nembhard's here and he's knocking down shots. Jalen Brunson. All right, he's out of the game for a sec. Okay, Mikal Bridges is going to find that mid-range. Karl-Anthony Towns is going to make shots. It feels like either Jalen Williams or Chet Holmgren has to step up and be like, hey, Shai's on four fouls. Shai's on five fouls now. Okay, I'm the guy. Give me the rock and let me go to work. Or let's run this, get me going. There's got to be something there. And I think
It's
that's
Jalen
why,
Williams. It's
yeah.
Jalen. He's the guy. He just needs to mature into the understanding of being that guy. Like it just is what it is right now. But and it's all right, meet your moment, understand your role. And his role has been, second to Shai all season, but not third. Never third. But now it's like, okay, now the playoffs, especially when Shea goes down, goes out, is out, whatever reason Shea's not on the court, we can't have you not being number two or 1A.
You got to step up. You 1B. If Shea's 1A, you
Gotta.
got to be 1B if you want to win this whole thing.
And he's got to understand it.
And
And I
he's from
think,
Denver as well, right? He's from Denver, so his friends and family, they're all there to see him show out.
Nah, he's in the moment, and unfortunately, I just feel he's the crutch for OKC not meeting the moment. They should have beat Denver tonight,
Oh,
truthfully.
100%. Because
They should have
now,
beat Denver.
game seven.
You leave it up to Jokic and Shea, and Jokic isn't backing down to Shea. Shea isn't backing down to Jokic. It comes down to them. And unfortunately, how the refs are calling superstar fouls.
Yeah.
That
I
comes
mean,
into
the
play.
refereeing in this
Yikes.
series, if you like compare this series to Detroit Pistons versus New York Knicks, it's like it's two worlds apart. It's two different leagues. The way that this series is being called on both sides, I'm not a huge fan of it. Those series in the East were a lot more physical. I don't know what's happened to all of that. They must have not got the memo over there in Denver and Oklahoma, but that's what I want to see. But CT, very important question for you. Very, very important question for you. Tonight, my Boston Celtics have a chance to stay alive once again. Can they do
Yes, they can. You know why?
it? Go on.
Unfortunately, because Tatum's not on the floor. It's addition by subtraction. And I
No.
say that in the healthiest, lovingest. Tatum's a Jordan guy. I'm a Jordan guy. I'm a Nike guy. You already know, two and through. He just doesn't present the case for them this season in particular. Last season, it worked. They could do what they did. This season, they want to jack up 53s, and he's the leader of that charge. They want to act like they're out talenting the opponent. It doesn't apply this series in particular. And then they want to do concepts. You know, hack a player
Hacker Mitch,
that who actually
he went
hits
six for
free
six in the
throws.
last game. I don't know if you'll be able to do that. Let me break this down though, because I do have to disagree slightly, right? And it's not the people on TikTok in Instagram comments love to say I'm biased because there's a Tatum jersey sitting behind me. Mate, there's a whole office of jerseys here. I'll give you guys a tour one day, but I don't think it's addition by subtraction. I think the Celtics win game five. They're playing with desperation. They are playing for pride and they're playing for their teammate who they have now lost for the next year. The Knicks know they have three chances to close out this team. And I just feel like they took their foot off the gas a little bit. Now they're going home, home crowd behind them. They know they don't want to face a game seven because anything can happen in a game seven. I think the Knicks win pretty big in game six because the difference with like, talking about Tatum and so on and so forth, the Celtics still shot a whole load of threes. The difference is those shots were just falling. Those shots just fell. Maybe those closeouts weren't as tough as they were in the first couple of games.
But
Maybe.
I'll tell you, love me some Jason, but the ball sticks a little bit more
You say
in
that, but
the
he's the
Boston
best playmaker on
offense.
the team, though. I think this is
Guaranteed.
the thing. This is the thing, right, with Jason Tatum.
Guaranteed.
People will say the ball sticks with him and they're better without him, whatever, because people are only seeing the possessions which he is taking bad shots. I'm not saying that he's a perfect player and he doesn't make bad shot choices, okay? He does. However, no one ever talks about some of the amazing playmaking attributes that he has added to his game over the last few years. As a passer,
Guaranteed.
especially when
Guaranteed.
they double team him and he's making the right reads almost every time, he's coming off pick and rolls. And I know he's looking for the pull up three off the pick and roll because that's their philosophy. However, some of the passes that this man makes, and I don't hear anyone talking about them. Sometimes it's not always an assist, it's a pass that leads to an assist, so on and so forth. But as a playmaker, that's the most underrated part of his game. And that, a lot of people, they only focus on the negative aspect of, okay, he's missing a lot of threes and he's shooting a lot of pull-up threes. And I'm against that too, don't get me wrong. But I don't think that you can say that the Celtics are better without him.
Well, in totality, I see they're better without him because they got more shot opportunities that they hit the shots that they've been making all season without him. With him, it's they got to wait on him to take his shots and then they get their shots. That's the only thing, the only knock that I see. And it's a minuscule, view of the game, Celtics game, because they're going to shoot 53s. But the way he gets his threes, his shots in particular, when you break it down, when you look at it in particular, it's like, all right, then when you see him, we see them in particular without him, the way they get their
But the
threes that
thing
they're going to
is,
take
the
anyway.
thing is, right? And you know as well as anyone, right? Players play on a lot of rhythm, right? And Jason Tatum has had stretches of seasons where he's on an unbelievable heater, and then he's had stretches where his 3-point shot just is not falling. And we saw that in the playoffs for a stretch this year. We saw that in the playoffs for a stretch last year. However, in game four, he was on what, 41, 42 points before he went out injured? That shot was falling. Now, I believe, just personally, that he's got his rhythm back. And if he doesn't get that injury,
Oh,
because
60.
when that shot's falling, no one's guarding him. And it's like, okay, we're gonna
No
live
doubt.
with him taking those even when they miss,
He's
because
at
when
his
he makes
best.
them, like he has the record for the most points in the game seven. He has
No,
so many of these things. When the shot's falling, you can't criticize any of it, but he's got to find a way to get the shots falling without taking a series and a half to find his form.
Well, that's just it. That's the analytics. That's the, rear view mirror of judging Jason Tatum at his best and at his worst. At his best, he's undeniable. But at his worst, you can see a case for, they can win without him, and they've proven that. And that's not just him. That's Ja Morant when he's out. That's superstar athlete, name a
Any
team
team with good
when they're
depth.
out.
It's any team with good
Yes,
depth when the entire
yes.
team doesn't just focus around their entire system around one person,
Because
right?
the other players get to actually finally feel that, hey,
And
I have
everyone in the NBA can
freedom.
play. Everyone in the
Yeah,
NBA can play.
thank
Okay.
you.
But
They're NBA players.
here's my biggest, most underappreciated part of Jason Tatum's game, the defensive side of the basketball. Because we talk about guys who can
It.
switch one through five.
Say it.
I don't know how many you can list, but Jason Tatum has to be on that list. He's been guarding Karl-Anthony Towns in the series. They won a championship last season with him guarding centers on the Dallas Mavericks. But he can
He's
switch
underrated.
out and guard point guards on a perimeter. He can guard any position and hold his own. He's not prolific shot blocker. He's not getting racking up steals, but he's a good defender. And I think so now look at
I'll
how they
tell
play the Knicks
you,
though.
I'll tell you, not to cut you off, but Halliburton being voted most underrated, that's Tatum.
No, they voted him most overrated, bro. They voted
But
Halliburton the most overrated.
it's
Yeah, it's a fact.
the opposite.
But the thing with the Knicks, right? So you're playing the Knicks. You want to put your big man on Josh Hart. You're going to let Josh Hart shoot all the threes he wants so your big can help
Yeah,
in the
for
paint.
sure.
And the
For
only
sure.
reason they could do that is because Jason Tatum was guarding Karl-Anthony Towns. That's why I'm now anticipating Karl-Anthony Towns to have a big game six, because he's going to look at who guarded him, the matchups, where he can find his shots from, because now there isn't a physical athlete with the size and strength of Jason Tatum with that same ability to have the switch ability as well. Because the Celtics will live on a Brunson cat pick and roll. And if it's Jrue Holiday and Jason Tatum involved in that action, the Celtics can live with that. I'm comfortable with Jrue Holiday switching on to Karl-Anthony Towns and Jason Tatum switching on to Jalen Brunson. The problem is now you're getting Al Horford on those switches and Jalen Brunson's going to torch him. That's the thing as well. When we're talking about addition by subtraction, okay, cool. Maybe you're going to see other guys get more touches, more involved in the offense. But defensively, you're missing a very important defender.
I think the Knicks just need to focus on the Villanova. connection.
Yeah.
They got Captain Clutch. They got Mikal, who plays every minute of every game for his life. Josh Hart don't care about nothing but getting that ball. And if it leads to a stat, it is what it is. The Celtics are in trouble because the Knicks have proven they got three winners, three dogs.
Well, they had four, but one of them's already in the conference finals, just out west. Shouts to Dante
Yeah.
DiVincenzo. They had four.
And then by osmosis, they pull
Yeah.
him in. But the Celtics got some players. They got the better talent.
We've got Luke
They got the
Cornette.
better team.
Not without
It's
Jason Tatum.
just
I don't think without, like, on paper, five versus five, because Porzingis
I
has been horrific. That we're not even counting
I
Porzingis anymore in
well
this
he's
series.
sick. Like, what's his
Yeah,
sickness? Like,
no
what are
one
we doing?
knows. No one knows. And Tatum is out as well. So the Celtics are down two of their top five, whereas the Knicks
Yeah,
are at full strength. So on paper, the Knicks are the better team right now.
I beg to differ. The
Really?
Celtics brought back a championship team. They didn't lose anybody.
Hmm.
They got the culture. They got the team. They got the players of note.
Yeah.
Even down to, they had backup all season last year, all season this season. They got the sixth man.
Paying
So I,
Pritchard,
you
yeah.
know, they're
The
they're
Celtics are
they're
10-2
not to
without
be
Tatum,
scout.
2-0 in the
This
playoffs.
game should go triple overtime. And then who wins? Who wins? Is what it should be, but we'll see.
I just don't see a way the Knicks let this go to a game seven. I just don't think they can allow it.
They better not. They better not.
Don't
They
let me start dreaming now, CT. Don't let me start dreaming now. Don't let don't do that.
if they do, if they do, hey, Celtics, come on
Game
back to
seven
the
in Boston.
finals.
Oh, I think what's interesting as well is if the Knicks are to lose this game, and even if they do win game seven, I think that the psychology of that conference finals against the Pacers, who are now just chilling, resting, watching this unfold, I think that also changes. You know what I mean? I think the Knicks have to take care of their work early. They've got to get up big early, which they've not been able to do this series. They've
At
got to get a
all.
big lead early on, like the Celtics do in most games, get up 14 points. And then close it out. That's got to be the game plan if you're New York. Because I know you've got Jalen Brunson and you can rely on him in the clutch, but look what happened in the last game. He fouled out. He wasn't there in the clutch. Anything can happen in the playoffs. So I think the
Yeah,
Knicks
but
got to.
he's been taking some hits. Like, it's a spare time when he comes down on an ankle again.
But I talked about this yesterday. He's like kicking into people's ankles to draw the fouls because they're not. They're guarding him like this now because they're so worried about getting called for a
Yeah,
foul.
for sure.
So, like, I get it, but at the
For
same time,
sure.
you're hurting yourself, bro. Like I see
That,
what you're
but
doing.
he knows, like, he didn't get a call last night, and that could have been a legit current NBA call. He came down on his ankle after a shot. Player came down on him.
Yeah, but if you
And
kick
it was
your
just,
legs out, so it's just.
yeah, but he didn't kick out. It's just as, but it was a basketball play, which I'm like, thankfully they didn't stop the game and have to review
Oh
it
man,
and
oh
then
man,
and
oh
do all
man.
this happenstance. And it was like, all right, come on, Jay, you hurt, get out the game. If not, let's go.
I think they should put a timer on replay reviews. There should be 30 seconds on the clock and the
30
refs
second
have to
clock.
review
No,
it.
no,
Put
no.
forget that, put a shot
24
clock.
second.
Yeah.
24 second shot clock, decision clock. Like,
Facts.
it we can't
Facts.
keep doing this.
Facts. I'm so tired of it. Tonight they had a couple that were actually done quite quick. So shout out to the refs in the OKC Nuggets game tonight.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But all right, CT prediction time. Who you actually got winning game six? Celtics force game seven or Knicks go through to the conference finals?
Yeah, Knicks.
I thought
Knicks
so.
got to take care of that biz. They got to take care of their biz, and then unfortunately, the Celtics are they're hobbled, and I'm a believer in Jaylen Brown. I actually think he's a better baller than Jason Tatum.
What do you mean, a better all-round player?
Yes. Better clutch player, better defensive player, better shot maker. Hey, that left hand suspect, but that's just me. I don't know. I just watch basketball.
Who's a better passer?
Passer, Tatum.
Who's
I'll give
a
Tatum
more
that.
versatile defender?
Brown. He just proved
Really?
that. He just showed
Really?
you that trying to guard Captain Clutch from up court. Yeah, he's that dude.
If he was, then the Celtics wouldn't have thrown away two 20-point leads in the first two
I'm with you.
games.
I'm with you. I just think light skin wins initially
I
until.
think, you know what I love about being a Celtics fan is I don't have to pick which one's better because I get to enjoy them both being on my team.
Yeah,
Now, this
right.
summer, when the Celtics start making trades, then I'll just pick whoever stays with
Man.
the Celtics. See, because I support
But I
teams,
it,
not
no,
players.
I Jason Tatum is that dog. He's the man. And
I think they
unfortunately,
balance each other very well.
yeah, but I just think, unfortunately for international players of note that are ahead of him, he would actually be the face of the NBA in particular. Out
I
front.
don't think he can ever be the face of the NBA. Do you know why? You can't be a nice guy and be the face of the NBA.
Hey, he's from the Midwest. He can't help himself.
Because think about Jordan. Jordan weren't known for being a nice guy. Kobe weren't
Yeah.
known for being a nice guy.
Yeah.
LeBron, you can talk about face of the league, but he wasn't the face of the league until he went to Miami and became the villain.
Yes.
Right?
He
You've got to be
figured
the
it out.
villain.
And that's what I'm
Now,
saying. Like,
Steph has kind of been the face of the league as a nice guy, but at the same time, he
nah,
was
he's
part of
definitely a
that.
nice guy.
He's a nice guy, but he was
He's
a villain.
cool.
He was a villain in the sense of them guys getting KD to come over. So he still had a villain type
Nah, that was on
role.
KD. That was on
So,
KD. That was
but
never
I don't think
Steph.
Steph has ever been standalone player face of the league. I think it's him and LeBron have been in this era together, tied, right? So what
They
I'm saying
tried,
is.
but it's just hard because, and that's my point. It's hard because the Giannis's, the Ricky Rubio back in the day made it hard.
I remember Ricky
The
Rubio before he came to the NBA. I thought,
Lucas, the AK-44s,
oh, Andre
the
Kirilenko? Man,
international
that's one ugly face
players
of the league, bro.
have made it hard to have a straight face, outlaced American outright player face of the league of the NBA. And it's
Yeah.
been long term, but now it's more embraced because the international players just they're that good.
Yeah, I think it's also like relatability, I guess, because I'm Jason Tatum. Oh, I'm on the cover of 2K. Oh, I've got a Jordan sneaker. Oh, I've won a championship. Oh, I've got a beautiful R&B singer as my wife. Oh, so on and so forth. I've got a great family. Oh, I always say the right things in interviews. That's not relatable. Like the fans, they like Anthony Edwards. He'd be making real life mistakes that people could relate to. You know what I'm talking? I know a
That's
lot of brothers that can
the
relate to Anthony Edwards, what he
but that's the
does.
people that they question him. Wow, they love him so much, da da da. But then his interviews, he got his hat. I just heard the interview today on the morning show for NBA
Oh yeah.
radio.
Yeah.
But Oakley was saying he got his hat cut backwards and his shoe,
No, but
his
that's his style. It's
sunglasses
the same way
on.
AI had style when he came in,
But
though.
thank you. But people don't take his realism and he's just being him
He's portraying, but
as
for a lot of the
professional. But he's a
fans, a lot
professional.
of the
Like,
fans have seen him as a character. They
yes.
see these guys as characters rather than basketball players. And I think the other thing NBA media loves to do and fans love to do is they love to boost people up so much and then find an excuse to tear them down. Because I remember when everyone loved Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And then they made the conference finals, young up-and-coming team made the conference finals, made it. Oh, they keep making the conference finals. Why are they never winning? And there was this
They
whole
can't win
rumor for
together.
years where
They're
they
not a
gotta break them up,
combo.
they gotta trade them, and so on and so forth. And it's
Right,
like,
right.
and it's like, okay, we're gonna build you up. All right, we're gonna build up Jokic. He's great. He wins the MVPs. He's the best passing big we've seen. So on. But then he wins two or three MVPs, and they're saying, whoa. He can't win three in a row. He's
Yeah,
not Larry Bird. It's
right.
like they love to build people up, set them down. So like, if Anthony Edwards doesn't win this year or next year or the year after, I already know what the media is going to do and what a lot of fans are going to do. They're going to say, "Oh, this guy's a fraud. He never wins." Same thing they're going to do if Shea wins the MVP and loses Game 7. They're going to do the same thing to him. Oh, and that's just how
sucks
they
for
keep,
him, right?
You
right,
know, that's right. how they keep people clicking on their things and so on and so forth. But
I'll tell you, that's the beauty of the NBA. That's the beauty of the top players, not even the top players, but the players in the NBA that actually love basketball and actually love the ball. And it ain't about their brand or their marketing or their fame or the entertainment value or the gambling odds. They're ballers. And those are the people that, you know, you and I and people that love to watch basketball at all levels, but especially NBA, gravitate to is like, okay, you're not that dude per the NBA, but I rock with you.
Yeah. And you can tell, like, you know, it's interesting. And I'm really excited to see some of these new draft prospects. We'll talk about them as the playoffs continue to roll on. The combine's going on right now. I know Mr. Perry and Mr. Armstrong are very busy over in Chicago at the combine evaluating some of these prospects. But that's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. CT, I appreciate you back on the show. Make sure you guys are listening, follow CT, subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.